Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. Here in Texas, we've had our primary elections, but we've been inundated with campaign ads for weeks, and that will continue as long as there are runoffs and then throughout the summer into late fall. Not to mention that talk of politics with our partners, family members, neighbors, and coworkers isn't always pleasant. What does this do to our mental and our physical health? Here to tell us what it does and how we can take care of our health is Madison Bishop. She is a senior therapist in the Counseling Center's Employee Assistance Program, and she gives us tips on how we can stay informed, but at the same time protect our mental health. Whether that's limiting our time on social media or stopping conversations and arguments before they get too heated. Welcome to our podcast, Maddie Bishop.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Yes, my name is Maddie Bishop, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here. I work in the Employee Assistance Program. We provide free mental health counseling to employees of certain business contracts. So employees of Texas Tech University, the Health Sciences Center, UMC, multiple school districts, the city. We provide free mental health counseling to those employees. That's about 8 to 12 sessions that are free, and that renews every single year from September through August. And I've been there about 7 years almost, and I work primarily with couples. I'm the couples counselor of the office.
Well, again, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Now, these past few years, we've been through a number of significant events, you know, so much that would stress pretty much anybody. But it's campaign season from now until November. And does being around campaigns and all of the rhetoric causes additional stress?
Absolutely. Yes, it definitely does. The overload of political information that we receive on a constant basis can cause us more stress. More people are getting involved in talking about politics and different campaign things and wanting to be informed, which is great. However, it can be very overwhelming at times. And so we're researching candidates more and more and trying to vote for who we feel is the best fit. And with that research, we're learning new things that are happening in the world and politically, and it can feel just like it's too much sometimes. And just, yes, it can definitely cause us more stress.
What does that stress do to us mentally and physically?
We can have normal reactions to stress, such as fatigue, low energy, low motivation in things, feeling overwhelmed. It could also lead to things of like depression and anxiety if it's not monitored in a healthy way. It could also cause us to have issues socially with others, especially if we don't agree with people, and it can cause us to have some hurt feelings among other people as well. So it affects us mentally, emotionally, socially, and physically.
How can we protect ourselves, and how can we deal with the stress?
Definitely doing things that make us happy, such as different types of coping skills, whether that's being creative, exercise, meditation, reading. Talking to a licensed counselor can also be a big help. Limiting definitely our exposure to things. So that could be limiting our time on social media or limiting who we are following on social media. Just being able to access everything constantly, again, is a great tool, but it can feel that that's all that we're doing. And that spiral can happen very easily. So limiting our exposure to that. One thing I do want to mention is that yes, it is campaign season, and it will be happening from now until December, we'll say, even when everything is over. But we have so many other things going on in our lives in between now and then that it's okay for us to turn off campaign for a little while, turn off the politics for a little while, and to find other things or address other areas in our lives that need to be – that we can focus on to give us that little boost in our morale.
Now we're on to friends and family. What about in situations with friends and family who always want to talk about politics, you know, even what we don't agree with? How can we have a healthy discussion, or how can we shut down a discussion or an argument?
This is one of the bigger things that has been happening more recently in our world, especially in our social worlds. But setting boundaries is a huge, huge factor. So setting boundaries with others is a major coping skill and can help us with having these difficult conversations. Boundaries are what we do to keep ourselves mentally and emotionally and physically safe. And so it might be hard, but it is important to set boundaries. And we can do this by telling people things like, I do not want to talk about this at this time. I care too much about you and our relationship to keep having these types of conversations. It's also all right to leave a conversation. So if I say to someone, I'm not comfortable or I do not want to talk about this right now, and if they keep pressing, then it's okay for me to say, I don't want to talk about this right now, so I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to physically leave the space and leave the conversation. And leaving the room or hanging up on the phone, you have to tell the person you're doing it. You can't just do it because that can cause more tension and more hurt feelings for everybody. Again, unfollowing certain people on social media is a big factor. If you have a relative who, if they only post about politics or things that you are uncomfortable with on Facebook or Instagram or all of the social medias, it's okay to go in and unfollow them. I know Facebook allows us to snooze people for a little while and you can unfollow anybody on there. But limiting who we are following is good. It helps us to pull ourselves out of that, to not constantly see it all the time. Having healthy discussions is very important and it can be done. We mostly listen to react to others and we do not really listen to respond. So we pick up, if we're having a discussion with someone and we pick up only one word, then I'm going to focus on that one word. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if that's all I'm focused on, I'm not listening to what you are actually saying. And so it's important for us to not interrupt each other, to use what we would call active listening skills. So repeating back what we hear from the person and then using I feel statements. So I feel blank when this happens. If it's about I feel hurt having these conversations with you, that is a lot easier for someone to digest than if we are just being argumentative back with them. Also, using statements such as always or never, that can be really tricky. Those are absolutes. And when we hear that, then we start to think of the times where you say, I never listen to you. Well, I listened to you yesterday. Or you always talk about politics. Well, I talked about something else. Like, we focus on that and not really the actual content of the conversation or the context of the conversation. If needed, in very extreme cases, limiting our reactions to people can be very helpful. So this is doing something of one-word answers to the person. If you have a relative or a coworker or a friend or somebody, and if they are going off on a tirade about something and you feel like they're baiting you, it's okay to just sit there and say, okay, or mm-hmm, and then walking away or just not elaborating. Limiting our reactions and our responses helps, again, continue to keep us safe. And it helps us with keeping our personal information private. And it can end the interaction very quickly instead of letting it drag on and on and on. And so not showing emotion or vulnerability in those conversations is very, very helpful.
That sounds so much more healthier than just slamming a door.
Yes. Because when we slam doors, people are going to keep knocking on those doors. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to communicate, even if it feels difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, then sometimes we don't agree with our coworkers or our team members when it comes to politics. And some are more vocal than others. And sometimes there are those small comments, like you said, when they're attempting to bait us. Sometimes it's on a daily basis. How can we handle those situations? And how can we protect ourselves from the feeling of dread of having to go to work or seeing a coworker?
Again, boundaries. And so this might be if you have a coworker who talks about these things all day, every day in the break room, you might decide to, I could only be in there for a few minutes. I'm going to heat up my lunch or get something from the fridge or get my coffee, and then I'm going to leave. I'm not going to engage in that conversation. You could be assertive and tell the person, I do not talk about politics at work. Being assertive is super important. A lot of times we confuse it with being aggressive, but being assertive is just being firm with your boundaries. Being aggressive would be like yelling at the person about, you're so stupid for talking about this, instead of, I just don't talk about this at work. There is a difference there. And we try to stop it before it gets going. So if, again, we see it happening, we tell ourselves, I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to walk away. And then the coworker also knows that if we say, I do not want to talk about politics at work, then that coworker hopefully would know to not engage with that or to keep trying to talk about it with you. It's also important to try to leave work at work. I know for a lot of people that is very, very hard sometimes. But being able to decompress and going from work mode to home mode is super important because we don't want to take that stress and those hurt negative feelings that we have about our coworkers or about these situations. We don't want to bring that into our safe space, which is our home. And so again, doing things like coping skills, whether that's going to the gym after or before work to get those frustrations out, talking to your partner if you have one at home, someone who you feel safe and vulnerable with that you can lean on and you can trust to, oh, my coworker was talking about this again today. And they can say, yeah, that's really frustrating. So we don't feel so alone in it. For some people, it's blasting music on the way home and just being able to get, their frustrations out and to not hold on to it.
What can we do to find our voice and sense of control when we have these encounters, whether it's a robocall or an ad or a bumper sticker or a coworker?
When we are feeling triggered by small things, it is important to utilize our coping skills. So again, whether that's music, singing, being creative, exercise, really anything you want it to be, that can be very helpful. I also like to use what I call my sliding scale. And so when I use that, I ask myself, how impactful is this to me? And I do it on a scale of 1 to 5. So if it is a 1 to a 2, I let that go. If that is a bumper sticker that I've seen while driving home, I can't do anything about someone's bumper sticker. I can't go take it off their car, but I can roll my eyes and then I can keep focusing on what I'm doing, like driving or whatever it is. If something is a 3, that might be bothering me a little bit more. It's something that doesn't hurt, but it's still just kind of annoying. I might do something to make me feel better, whether that's an example would be, again, limiting your social media and political ads, just kind of saying, I'm not going to follow those things right now. Doing things that make us feel fulfilled, whether that's playing with your pet, like your dog or your cat, or being with your family, playing a game or something like that, that can help with that 3. If it's a 4 or 5, it might be something that comes from a very hurtful conversation with someone who's close to you. Again, like a family member or your best friend or something. And so that is when we might need to readdress our boundaries with those people. And we might also need to start talking to a counselor for that. So this is my mother has said something that is very hurtful to me about my political choosings or leanings. And it just makes me feel like she doesn't see me as her child anymore. For a lot of people, that's a true thing. So going in and talking with a counselor about that can make a huge difference. So using that sliding scale of 1 to 5, where 1 to 2, I can let this roll off my back. 3, I can do something at home on my own. 4 or 5, it's a bigger deal and it's hurting me more. So being able to scale that, I think, is very important in helping us to find, again, what works for us and what we need to do after that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
We tie a lot of our values to our political leanings. And when our values feel threatened, that is when we react. That is when we become angry or hurt. And so it's important to be informed. It's important to be educated on what you are wanting from your candidates and things like that. But it's also important to remember that we are all human. We all have emotions and we all have values. Not all of them line up. Be a great world if they all lined up like that. But we all can still connect to each other emotionally and that there is a lot more going on in our lives than just campaign season. So it's important to be able to step out of that when needed. But again, to remember, we all are human.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a fresh perspective on handling campaign season, because it's going to be a long year.
It's been a long several years. Yes.
Well, thank you again for coming on our podcast and we can't wait to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Hope Caperton, and me, Melissa Whitfield.